Well, as soon as Natural Born Killers appeared on screens 20 years ago, it became one of the most controversial films in popular cinema. It was banned here in Ireland for its violence and continues to be one of the bloodiest mainstream films made. Brian Lloyd joins me now to discuss the film and to see whether it still shocks today. Brian, it's remembered for its frenetic, over-the-top, violent scenes, the controversy as you mentioned there. But can you remind us of the basic plotline behind the blood?
It was pretty much a straightforward Bonnie and Clyde story. Mickey and Mallory Knox, played by Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis, set off on a killing spree across Route 666. Along the way, they become folk heroes, and I use giant inverted commas here. They're taken in by the media and turned into these national celebrities. They're eventually captured. And the film culminates in a particularly violent prison riot that is headed by Tommy Lee Jones, as just completely wacky warden.
Well, we have a clip here of the film from the opening scene, actually, and it introduces us to Mickey, played by Woody Harrelson, and Mallory, played by Juliette Lewis. And it's when they actually begin their shooting spree in the diner.
Now! There is no escaping here!
Who's the lucky one?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a redneck by its toe. If the haulers let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. My mama told me to pick the best one, and you are it! When them people come here and they ask you who done this, you tell Mickey and Mallory Knox did it, all right? Say it!
Mickey and Mallory Knox did it.
Mickey and Mallory Knox. I love you, Mickey.
Me and Mallory?
Now, the original story here was by Quentin Tarantino, but how did Oliver Stone then become involved? Because rewatching it, it's hard to remember that it's not directed by Tarantino. It seems to have so much of his trademark style to look at.
Yeah, very much so. Like in the dialogue and all the rest, it's quite similar to his films. But I mean, when Stone took it on originally, he intended this to be just a very much a straightforward summer blockbuster. You know, the original script from Tarantino was, as in Stone's own words, it was something that Arnold Schwarzenegger would be proud of. And his previous film to that, Heaven and Earth, was, you know, a very, very tiresome, a very, very exhausting of shoot for him, so he just wanted a straightforward action blockbuster that he could make a few bob on. But as you watched it, and then of course, you know, you had, you know, the O.J. Simpson trial, you had the Rodney King trial, and you know, just TV culture in the US had just ballooned when he began the production. I suppose he kind of took that into it, and then the film became what it was, the script became what it was.
So what kind of comment do we think all these years later, looking back on it, what kind of comment is Oliver Stone trying to make the film, or are we imposing a comment on it?
No, he was very much trying to make his own comment on it. I think he was trying to say that, you know, TV, you know, media and TV culture had reached such a point in the 1990s that it was just feeding violence into society. I mean, like I said, this was the year of the O.J. Simpson trial, Rodney King, you had the Branch Davidian assault, and I don't think violence had been openly portrayed so often and so frequently on TV, and that, you know, this was going to have an effect on society, and it was already having an effect on society. You know, and the film itself, I mean, took really, really specific aim at, you know, various personalities in the media. Like Robert Downey Jr.'s character was based almost completely on Geraldo Rivera. There's one scene in it where he interviews Woody Harrelson towards the end, and that, you know, some of the dialogue was actually taken straight from Geraldo Rivera's interview. I mean, it was literally just copied verbatim and stuff like that. So, and not only that as well, there was the whole thing of, you know, just this constant need for celebrity, this constant need for fame and recognition. And, you know, we looked at today, like social media and all this kind of thing, and, you know, people are just constantly trying to put themselves forward and put themselves out there. It really shows that, you know, the film was completely ahead of its time in that sort of way, that people were just so desperate to be famous by any means necessary. And, you know, obviously this is a completely exaggerated version of it, but there you are.
Well, as you said, there's part of the commentary, there is media frenzy in the film, and the two main characters want it. They want that kind of attention. And we see Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Wayne Gale, interviewing Mickey, as you referred to it there. So let's take a listen to this, and just gives us a sense of the sense, the atmosphere and the tone of the film.
Stay tuned for a special American Maniacs on WATCH. Mickey Knox is the most dangerous man in America, but Wayne Gale isn't afraid to meet him one-on-one to learn what 48 people died for. Is this man insane, or does he belong where he sent so many others, in the grave?
Mickey Knox, thank you for this time. I've got a few questions I'd like to start off with, if you don't mind.
Well, let's roll the f***ing dice, mate.
Mickey Knox, when did you first start thinking about killing?
Birth. I was thrown into a flaming pit of scum, forgotten by God.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I came from violence. It was in my blood. My dad had it. His dad had it. It's all just my fate.
You believe in fate, boy?
My fate.
No one is born evil, Mickey. It's something you learn. What about your father? How did he die? You were only 10 years old, and there's a lot of speculation.
I didn't kill my father, and I don't want...
Hey, watch it, watch it, watch it. It's all right. It's okay.
It's okay. Go on to something else, okay?
Please, let's do it.
Talk to me about the importance of the casting of Woody Harrelson in that role, Mickey, because it was an unlikely casting.
Oh, very
choice.
Much so, yeah. I mean, up until this point, the only thing he was known for was playing Woody in Cheers. He was in White Men Can't Jump with Wesley Snipes, but again, that was just like a fairly straightforward kind of dramedy. Perhaps known or unknown to Oliver Stone, Woody Harrelson's father was actually in prison serving a life sentence. He was a contract killer and he had actually killed like a federal judge. So, you know, when you know, you were just listening to that scene there, his father was violent and now he's violent. I mean, that could have been very much Woody Harrelson's life. Same as well for Juliette Lewis. It was fantastic in this. I mean, she was very much living a chaotic life. She was currently, at the time, was dealing with drug addiction. And I think after the film wrapped, she went straight into rehab for treatment as well. So the whole film was very much, you know, taking the existing personalities of them and just amplifying them.
So do you think that, or do we know that Oliver Stone kind of knew what he was doing, that he knew this was going to cause such huge controversy?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he said that, you know, the film was a challenge, you know, trying to challenge the hypocrisy of the time. And I think as well, you know, he stated that, you know, the film was a satire. You know, he stated from very much, even to this day, he still, you know, defends it, that it was, you know, taking aim at, you know, violence in society by preaching violence as well and showing it on screen. I do think it still shocks. I mean, it's still pretty tough to watch. You know, you even watch it now 20 years later and it's still very, very chaotic and anarchic and frenetic. Like, I mean, there's something like 3,000 cuts in the film and it's so full on, like.
There's a body count of over 50.
Yeah.
I think I winced at each one of those. But we have to talk then about the look of the film,
yeah,
because that's what also garnered a lot of attention for it. I mean, it looks so interesting. It jump cuts from black and white to different perspectives to cartoonish kind of world. Talk to me a little bit about the look of the film.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cinematography was, like I said, was just absolutely chaotic. Like I said, there was something like 3,000 edits. The film was shot over 56 days, but it took almost a year to edit. I mean, that's how long we were talking about. In terms of like the actual technicalities of it, you know, it used 35mm, which is like really lush kind of stuff. And then it used like 8mm stuff, which is really grainy. Then it used, you know, CCTV footage, used TV cameras. So it was just, I mean, just such a myriad of technicality. And it just goes to show that Oliver Stone, I don't think he's ever done a film. I don't think there's ever been a film like this where it's used possibly every kind of, you know, format for it. Like, I mean, it's considered to be like one of the most expensive experimental films ever made. I think that's very, very apt. There isn't any film like this where you see just pure chaos on screen in terms of, you know, the script, the music, the actual formats itself. So, yeah.
So it came to Ireland. What happened next?
Well, it was banned. Banned completely outright on October 27, 1994. The censor at the time, Seamus Smith, he didn't make any public comments about it. He just refused censorship. I was actually talking to Alan Carr before I came in and he told me that the press screening of it, he said he went in and he said three critics walked out within 5 minutes. He said that like it was the opening scene where they did like this kind of sitcom parody thing. He said three critics, and I think one of them was from the Irish Times, got up and left and just walked out. So that'll tell you what it's all about. The IFI attempted to try show it as part of a membership screening to try circumvent IFCO's ban. Apparently, Nora Owen then threatened legal action and the screening was pulled. That was the end of it. Dublin Film Festival tried to screen it, but that drew protest. That was pulled as well. TV3 tried to attempt it in 2000. But again, they got into a bit of a tussle with the Department of Justice. To my knowledge now, I'm willing to be corrected on this. I think it's only been screened three times in public in Ireland. And I don't think it's ever been screened on TV. I know for a fact RTE have never shown.
What do we learn from Quentin Tarantino's style from the film? do you think?
I think, well, I mean, Quentin Tarantino, I mean, he didn't really have much to say about the film. You know, he was quite hands off about it. I mean, his script was completely rewritten. You know, in fact, it was so rewritten, and the fact that he just got a story credit, it was all Oliver Stone. It was very much his brainchild, if you like. It was just, you know, Quentin Tarantino's framing device. But the film is, you know, a lot of people say it's, you know, Oliver Stone's, I suppose, his mind turned outwards, if you like, because, you know, he'd been in Vietnam, he'd taken LSD, he was known for being this kind of counterculture figure. So I suppose this film was his sort of homage to America, if you know that kind of way, like at that time.
20 years on then, what do you think its legacy is?
I think it is still probably one of the most, it's still definitely one of the most controversial films ever made. For Oliver Stone, it's definitely the most talked about film in his filmography. You know, he said that, you know, he hasn't made a film like it. It's definitely, there is no film like it to this date, I don't think there ever will be a film made like this again. In terms of, you know, audience reaction to it, currently it stands at 47% on Rotten Tomatoes, so people are still very much, you know, they don't know what to make of it, and here we are 20 years later still talking about it, so.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, no, absolutely no.
Brian Lloyd has been talking to me there about Natural Born Killers, which celebrates its 20th anniversary this year.